comes Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Not just Eric Zorn, but the controversial Eric Zorn. Eric, you had an interesting week.
An interesting week? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's the Mayor Daily thing.
The Mayor Daily. I wonder what you're talking about.
We tried to contact you and you were too busy for us.
I was out of town, I think. Yeah. I was heading out of town.
You had to leave town.
Well,
it was so controversial.
I had to leave town. Well, just what happened in a nutshell is a couple weeks ago, Mayor Emanuel gave an interview to a competing radio station, Brand X in town.
Yeah.
And he said something like, you know, I've been really trying to dig out of a hole that was left to me when I took office 7 years ago. And after this, Fran Spielman at the Sun-Times called Bill Daley and said, you know, maybe Bill Daley called her. In any case, it ended up in the Sun-Times. Bill Daley told Mayor Emanuel to put his big boy pants on and start dealing with the problems that he has rather than looking back 7 years. So, you know, come on, you own these problems now. And there's been this thing about...
I don't know that I disagree with Bill Daley on that.
Okay. I'll flesh this out. So this has been sort of the strange truce that has been in place between the Daleys and the Emanuels over the years, or Rahm and the Daleys, which is that he never mentions Richard M. Daley by name. And Richard M. Daley was mayor for, 22 years up until, 2011 that he was sworn in? Or was it 2012 when he was sworn? Anyway, whenever he was sworn, whenever Emanuel was actually sworn in. And there was a big... There was a lot of problems that were left behind. The parking meter deal is the classic one that everyone talks about. But, you know, there was CPS pensions were in real trouble because of some stuff that Daley had done. There's some parking deals having to do with Millennium Park and the garages there. A lot of problems that were left behind for Emanuel to deal with. He never mentioned Daley by name, but Daley had kicked a lot of cans down the road. So I wrote a column saying, basically, you know, if Rahm's got to put on his big boy pants, then Mayor Richard M. Daley's got to put on the hair shirt to atone for the big flaming pile of excrement that he left behind on the desk when he left office for Mayor Emanuel 7 years ago. And so, you know, I wrote this column sort of going through some of the things that had been left behind. And then Bill Daley, the mayor's brother, wrote a column that was got prominent play in the Tribune, basically saying, sticking up for his brother, saying he wasn't perfect, but, you know, let's set the record straight. The parking meter deal was a good idea, and the Olympic bid was a good idea, and all these things. He was basically saying all these things were good ideas.
That's a good brother, though, defending your brother.
And that's where we are right now. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe fun for Bill Daley and I to do some sort of a debate.
We wanted you both on the air at the same time.
But I was out of town hiding, so.
And I like Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I'm not criticizing him at all. I also like what Mayor Daley did with these flower beds. He's made Michigan Avenue absolutely beautiful. The parks here, there are good things, too.
With the fences all around. No, there were definitely some good things that Mayor Daley did, but there are some problems that he left behind. And Mayor Emanuel has had to deal with those and been trying to deal with those. And I'm not saying that he's done everything perfectly either. He kicked some cans down the road in his first 4 years. But I just think that it is a very strange little dance that they've been doing all these years, saying, well, you know, Mayor Emanuel sort of saying, well, there are problems, but I'm not going to say who started them or where they came from.
But all you have to do is connect the dots.
But you just have to connect the dots and do that. So actually, who should be debating should be Mayor Emanuel and former Mayor Daley.
Right.
Eric, here's what I've noticed. Inevitable when you take office, whether you're taking the office of being the mayor or the president, you name the office. When you take the office, there's some problems that have been left behind by whoever held the office previously. So normally, if they're of the same background as you, if it's a Democrat into a Democrat, or a Republican or a Republican, you kind of don't mention the person's name. But if it's the opposite, you always mention the person's name.
Right. And one of the comparisons that Bill Daley made was he talked about Obama looking back and blaming Bush for Iraq 7 years later.
Yeah.
And my take on that is, well, he should be blaming George Bush for Iraq. He should have been blaming him for Iraq. We should still be blaming George Bush for Iraq.
Right.
You can't say, well, yeah, you had 7 years to clean up that mess that we started when we came in and we toppled the government and set the whole, you know, Middle East on fire, basically. So you've got, you know, there are problems that come back like this that haunt administrations. And I don't think there's any real problem in being candid about talking about them, about what the problem problems are.
Yeah.
And whoever, when J.B. Pritzker becomes governor, he's going to have to deal with a big, if he becomes governor, there's going to be a big mountain of problems, sure, that he's going to have to deal with. And some of those are arguably caused by the Democrats. They are caused by the Democrats. Yeah, right. So, you know, I don't think it's so unfair to look back and evaluate someone, you know, fairly like that. I just thought it was really, unsporting of the Dailies to say, well, Mayor Daley did all these good things, and he didn't leave a mess for Emanuel to clean up. So anyway, so that's where it stands right now.
What happens if you go to an event and Mayor Daley or his brother Bill Daley are there? Is that an uncomfortable room for you to be in, or how do you handle it if you see them anytime soon?
You know, I mean, in comfortable situations like that, quite a bit. I mean, the most obvious one that happens, you know, I criticize Governor Rauner all the time, and he comes into the Tribune editorial board a couple times a year to meet, and he's always cordial.
He
always
is cordial, good.
And you know, he was calling me Easy, which I kind of like. It was friendly. So you know, I mean, when you
he
get
meant
when
that because of your initials, I hope.
Well, yes, I think so. Yeah.
Right, good.
But so when we are you know, in the same room together, I think everyone realizes that there's a certain amount of this is not, we're not going to break into fisticuffs and talk
right.
about it. But I look forward to debating people. I like the jousting.
And don't
ideas.
You admire a guy sticking up for his brother? Don't you admire a guy?
Like,
go, you can't say something bad about my brother. Come on.
I made fun of him a little bit. I said my sister's going to write a rebuttal. but I thought if he
calls her Easy, you got to fight on your hands.
I thought it might have been better for him. Yeah, that would have been a problem. I would have to punch him in the nose for that. You know, I think it probably would have been better for him to have somebody, you know, like, I don't know, David Axelrod or someone like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Thing. You know, someone else. It does look a little bit like, you insulted my brother. But,
right.
But, you know, that was his decision, the family's decision. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I think I'm going to suggest to him that maybe we do something, you know, on the radio, or maybe in front of the...
if you feel like doing it here, we'd love to have it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Go commercial free for a couple hours.
You just have to figure out an undercard fight.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can get.
The Blair Kamen versus Donald Trump.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
How about that?
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy at WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, who's been traveling a lot recently and has some hotel stories to share with us.
I have several hotel stories. First of all, has this ever happened to you? You check into a hotel, and they give you the key cards, you go up to the room, and you go in, and there's somebody there already.
Oh, no, that's
that
never happened.
That has never happened to me.
It was surprising to me. This happened to us when we were traveling through Ohio, and they had just messed up at the front desk and gave away our room, and they had to actually find another hotel for us.
Yeah.
But it was like walking into the room, and fortunately, the guy was just sitting there watching TV on his bed. So you can imagine what you might have found.
What? How? What was his reaction like?
He was surprisingly calm about it. I think I would have been a little bit angrier. The front desk had to call him. He didn't call the front desk and say, what are you doing sending people up to my room? So it was some sort of major mess up. And what I don't understand about that is, you think that hotels would have like a computer system, but as soon as they tried to give us the keys to room 210, that the system would have like gone whoop whoop whoop.
Right.
Somebody's already in there.
Right.
Don't do that.
Occupied. You'd think an occupied.
I mean, it seems like something that would have happened in the old days, but not now. Another thing that happened was that in the hotel room, you know how when they have a single shower curtain,
yeah,
and when they make up the room, they have it so it hangs outside the tub,
yeah.
Sure.
For some reason, and I'm used to having the shower curtain inside the tub.
Yeah.
And so in my haze in the morning, I get in the shower and I don't put the shower curtain inside the tub. I just like close the shower curtain and I get out and I've flooded the bathroom floor.
No.
That's your fault. You should know to put it in.
Well, this is, I put this on Facebook and there are a lot of people who are saying this is your fault. Why aren't you looking at this? And they're right. It is my fault. I should have looked, I suppose. But you know, it's one of those things like, why would they do that? Why would the person make
it up
looks
the room? Prettier.
It looks better.
Yep.
There you go. So that's it.
You're such a guy.
And it's like, I would have it on the inside. I wonder how many times a day this happens.
You should have stayed with the guy who was watching TV when you walked in, because he was really careful about the shower curtain. It would have worked out perfectly.
So I'm on the warpath about that. So and the final thing that happened, the same hotel, we went down for breakfast the next morning. Breakfast? It was a continental breakfast.
Yeah.
The waffle.
The lobby waffle.
Just like they have in other continents.
Flip the thing. Usually they don't have it in this continent, but more and more common. I guess maybe the places I stay, you know, because I think fancier hotels, you have to buy your breakfast and you have to actually get, you know. But, you know, the thing with a little chafing
dishes. It's adequate.
You know, it's fine. It's really good. And we always, you know, for the last 10, 15 years, I've been leaving tips for the person who makes up the room, the housekeeper. I feel like, you know, I know these people are not paid well.
Right.
And whether they do a good job is, I mean, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
And...
You what know, are you leaving? How much are you leaving?
We leave $5.
$5 a day or total?
$5 a night.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
No.
We've left more.
More on
that. That's too much.
But my argument with my wife is that I noticed that, like, in the last place we stayed in Mexico, it was a different woman who came in every day.
Oh, no, yeah.
Always, so then the last woman just got a week's worth of tips for doing the room once.
And that came up on the show, and that's why Eric said, do you leave individual $5
a
day?
Each night we leave.
That makes sense.
For the person who makes it up.
And you don't actually, you may not catch the person who made up the room before you the night before, but then, you know, it pays forward, I guess, in some ways.
Because you're right, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know how common this is. I don't know how people do this very often. And I just feel, and I know these people work really hard.
Oh, sure.
And so we always leave. But anyway, so we're at the breakfast buffet, and I've realized in the last, like, 6 months or so that the people who are working these breakfast bars, the people who are restocking all the food that runs out, and they're running around, and the orange juice is out, the milk is out, that they're working hard. It's restaurant work.
Sure.
And there's no provision in most places for a tip for them. So we've been going back in the kitchen area and, like, leaving some bills for them. Usually, I think we left, like, $4 each time. But that just seems like something to do. And I put this on Facebook, and there's this you know, real contradictory emotions people have. Some people say, like, well, these people aren't they're not paid as tipped employees. Like, you have to tip. I mean, unless you're just a monster, you have to tip wait staff at a restaurant because they're paid sub-minimum wage. They're paid, I think it's like, was it $2.50 an hour? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's really, really small because the everyone knows that they get tips, so they feel like this is just a bare little bit of money to get you started, but they earn their money on tips. The people who are cleaning your room and the people who are stocking your breakfast bar and those things, those people are probably paid minimum wage or a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's really hard work. And when they do a good job, when they're making sure that the scum is clean from around the waffle maker.
Waffle scum.
And the top of the oatmeal.
Exactly. I mean, those places get pretty nasty pretty fast. And this one place we were in Elyria, Ohio, she was working so hard because this place is really crowded. She was alone. And I was thinking, like, why isn't it just standard to tip somebody like that? People at the coffee bar put out a thing just for filling your cup for coffee.
That's ridiculous. And,
Eric, when we were in Mexico, we were there in January, just a couple of weeks after both my daughter's birthday. So we get a knock at the door on one of the nights, and it's two people from the hotel, and they've got a dozen helium balloons and a box, which we assume is cake, right? And it was cake. It was birthday cake. So it was happy birthday all around. I gave them $20. They leave. We open up the cake, and it says happy birthday, Colleen, which none of us are named Colleen.
Kylie? Colleen?
We were thinking that. We were also trying to figure out how they knew it was the girl's birthday. We thought a relative may have called and said, we've got them staying there. It was their birthday a few weeks ago. So we call downstairs. They had brought it to the wrong room. But when they came back to get it, I said to my wife, I can't ask for the 20 back, can I? And she goes, absolutely not. So we kind of tipped them to give us a cake we had to return and balloons we had to return.
Wow.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for
that back. There's no way you could ask for that back, right?
From now on, what we've learned from Bill Leff is check the cake.
Check the cake first.
And if it applies, then tip them.
Then you tip.
Bring the cannoli.
Right. Take the gun, leave the cannoli.
I guess it would be fine to say, if it's a surprise delivery, you could say, well, who requested this? May I ask?
Right.
That's what you should do.
Well, they said
$20 you gave them.
That's all I had.
I wasn't expecting. I reached in. I get, Wendy, as you know, I get $20 a day.
So he only has
even
20
on vacation. This
is your allowance?
Yes.
I get $20 a day. So I gave them all I had.
He got your allowance, your whole allowance.
Yeah.
Whenever we go on trips like this, I always try to make sure that I have a lot of fives.
Terry said in Mexico I should get 20 pesos a day, but that's not a lot of money.
That's not much. That's like 20 cents, isn't
it? You can't survive on that in Mexico.
You should move to Mexico because your $20 will go way farther.
I'd be rich. I would be the wealthiest guy in all of Mexico.
But you know, there are all these questions about when you tip.
Yeah.
And they go beyond. I mean, one of the people who I think should be tipped, and this would be annoying, so people don't want to do it, the people who bag your groceries.
They should be tipped.
That's a fun job. I want to do that someday. That's my goal job.
The reason I say that is that people who do that, if they do it well, it's really important. It's important they don't put, like, we'll put the bread on the bottom, then we'll put the orange juice on top of the bread. I mean, the people who pack your bags well, it's an important thing, right? Wendy's rolling her eyes.
They're just doing that to make it to training so they can be the cashier.
But Yeah, you're probably right, because those cashiers, I think, get paid pretty well.
And what about, like, if you go to Baskin-Robbins or an ice cream place, there's always a tip jar out now. Do you give them any money?
Stop it. There shouldn't be tip jars.
Yeah, well, see, I think, you know, in some ways I agree with Wendy that some of these places are just, this is the standard service that they're putting ice cream in a cone.
Right.
And the tip jar is this sort of somewhat new thing, right?
I mean, I hate it.
And if you're everywhere you're going, you're being nickel and dime for tips. That's annoying. On the other hand, there are people who, you know, really do, when they do go the extra mile, when they do work hard, a little something for them is nice. So.
What about a bus driver? Does anybody tip a bus driver? Because they sure deserve it.
I always thank my bus driver.
No, that's not
it. I know. It's not the
airline
same, but
pilot.
But I've never heard anybody else thanking the bus driver. I get off the bus, I thank you.
I always say thank you.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. See, yep. I mean,
and then I flip him a quarter.
Here's a little sum for the effort.
I bite it first.
Right. Shoeshine boy, you're humble and lovable.
Yes.
Don't spend this all in one place.
Yep, absolutely.
But they should be tipped. Bus drivers, school bus drivers. Yeah. How about that?
Oh, they should definitely.
Certainly at, like, at Christmas, right? Yeah. You should give them a...
How about radio show hosts or newspaper columnists?
Yes, come on.
They
absolutely.
Should definitely be tipped.
That would be the right thing to do.
Thank
no doubt
you,
about
Eric.
It. That's Eric Zorn, everybody. He's in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.